Maganda Umaga, and Namaste and Buenos Dias. It's great to have you here this Palm Sunday as we come to celebrate and begin the Holy Week of Jesus Christ. We have had a wonderful way of beginning this service with the children coming and waving those palms, you know, a couple of times for us to remind us that this is a celebration. Even though it's a hard week and we're going to see some hard things, it's a celebration. A celebration of life and love. We come today knowing we're heading for the week in which we remember Jesus' story about Maundy Thursday, when we will come here and hear the choir lead us in the colors of grace, take communion at the rail, and remember by the term Maundy that you are to love each other. You are to love each other as Jesus washed the disciples' feet and gave his life for them and for others. We remember Good Friday, and we ask ourselves often, how is it called good? As we remember darkness, and yet we know the goodness and the greatness of God can take even the darkness, the hurt and the brokenness, and turn it into the open tomb or resurrection and new life. And finally, we come on Easter, our 6:33 service here on Saturday instead of Sunday, and then our three services on Sunday morning to celebrate. And as we kind of end our Lenten season and begin into our Easter season, I just want to show my appreciation to you for sticking with me this year, because this has been a hard Lenten season. This year, I really have asked you to grow. Not just to think about things in the normal course of events. Oh, yeah, we're heading to Easter and we got to repent and, you know. But to say, let's look. Let's look at what Jesus is about. Let's look at what Jesus asks us to do. And let's look what Jesus offers us. And how awesome and amazing that can be. I have asked you, and we have went through issues of forgiveness and mercy. And I'm telling you, that's some of the hardest stuff you'll go through. You'll be about. And yet, even today, as Jesus is teaching about life in the synagogue, or the temple, as he's teaching his disciples about prayer, what does he end with? Forgive others. Forgive others. It's a path to life. It's a path to possibility and new life in Jesus Christ. I know I've talked to some of you, especially in our church leadership, how there are churches within our nation and sometimes within our community who have asked themselves, are we helping our members grow spiritually? Giving. Are we helping them really doing that and doing some evaluation of that? And sometimes we grow spiritually, we know, in terms of giving financially and giving to those who are in need. That is a great and a wonderful thing. We will continue to do that. We also know we grow spiritually as we do service for those who are in need. Soup Kitchen, Habitat, Mission Teams, the 75 people going this summer for us. We're not going to only ask them to build houses, but to help build their spirits and grow closer to Christ and each other. But the central piece of forgiveness. How we learn to incorporate ways of love and grace for ourselves and have compassion on ourselves as God had compassion on us to send his son to die for us that we might know forgiveness. That pushes, and that's hard, and I'm glad you went there with me. And I'm great to see you back today. You didn't bail. You know, by the third or fourth week in our Monday evening Bible study, I was almost ready to bail because it was hard stuff. When we dare to approach repentance and forgiveness and acknowledge the merciful God that we have and ask us to be those who are merciful and to be those who are forgiven, we dare approach that place of freedom and service. I think God wants us all to know. Today's lesson, today's service, today what we celebrate, Palm Sunday, puts an exclamation mark on what we have talked about these last 4 or 5 weeks. How in the brokenness, the sinfulness in our life, when things go the way we don't want them to go, when we have to know and give forgiveness, God stamps that and says, life. You may not think so, but God says life. Today we are stamped with that in Jesus' trip into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And it is a wonderful day. You know, I love the beginning of this service with children marching around waving things. If I could think of something for the children to wave every Sunday, we'd do it. Right? I mean, that's life. You see it. The questions, the honesty, the willingness to wear that stupid backpack for Pastor Bill, right? You know, sure, I'll do that, Pastor. And he had no idea what he was getting into, did he? I'll do that to see that kind of life and love. And often when we do that, and every year I've been here, and every church I've been at, we kind of script the story. walk around here, do this, we go there, sit with pastor, we talk this, then we go to Sunday school. And again, the scripts are kind of a representation, an acting out of what happened. But I don't want us to get the idea that what we have done today is just scripted. It is not. It is real. The story of Christ is real. It's just not script. It's just not script. It's not a night being nice community members we have a church we go to. It's about the realness of our souls and our lives and our hearts. It's about the realness of our community and the need for our world to see who we are as followers of Jesus Christ. It's about realness. So, I'm telling you today, do I have a deal for you? You saw that announcement at the beginning of the service, right? What's the name of the... Deal or no deal, Hallie, whatever his name is. And what's that show about? It's about money, and what else is it about? Greed, and what else is it about? Playing the odds. You know, if I don't get fired for this, I don't know what's going to happen. Actually, I think it's a wonderful way for us to look at culture and to look at message within that. But I don't want to be left out of it today. So I got a deal for you. Are you ready? Let's just play it out. Let's play out the story that we know so well. Jesus goes to Jerusalem. He says, you know, I got to die. We got to go to the cross. Yada, yada, yada. Peter says, you couldn't do that. But we go anyway. Let's go. Palm Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Easter. Let's go home, have our ham, right? No. No, please. Dare to be part of the deal with me today. Because I wonder, sometimes we get a limited look at what happened with Jesus and the disciples. I wonder if the disciples weren't there with Jesus and he says, you know, this is what's got to happen. And, you know, I'm sure they're talking among themselves. And I'm sure that they're thinking, you know, we got to do something about this. If we go to Jerusalem, we know what's going to happen. All those Roman soldiers, all those police of the temple, all those political leaders who don't want us to speak freedom of God or freedom of love, they got their own thing going on. We know what's going to happen. So I can imagine Peter walking up to Jesus and saying, you know, Lord, let's have a tactical meeting for a moment. Let's do some strategizing here. And I tell you what, I got a deal for you, Lord. You've shown great power. The power of healing. The power of bringing back from the dead. The power of feeding. The power of the knowledge of God that you have. You know, the power of getting people to do what you want them to do. Instead of going there, to their center of power, let's set up our own. Let's have our own center of power. Let's all live good lives. Let's protect ourselves. Me and the guys, you know, we'll be with you in this. What do you say, Lord? You got a deal? And what would Jesus say? No deal. I can't be boxed in. I can't be caged in by earthly powers, by the ways and the corrupt power of this world as is so often lived out. So I can see them walking on down the road. And further along, I can see the disciples getting among themselves and saying, you know, that didn't work. What are we going to try now? So I can see somebody like Andrew stepping up to him and said, Lord, me and the guy has been talking, and do I have a deal for you? We know you don't like the power thing. We get that. We understand. But let's talk for a moment. I tell you what. You've got huge name recognition already, right? And we know image is everything. We know a guy in Jerusalem who could be a great agent. Get your name out there. We could make you a superstar. That would be an awesome thing, wouldn't it? And if you really want to share love and talk about what God wants, if you're a superstar, everybody's going to want to come and see you. Everybody's going to want to come and see what you do. You know, we might even get you on a cliff. And with the powers that you've got, you could jump off and the angels would catch you. You could float down and then the world would be yours. What do you say, Lord? Let's skip this Jerusalem thing. And Jesus would say, no deal. Because I can't be limited by just earthly fame or silly stunts. So they keep walking. And finally, I can see those disciples getting together, you know, as they walk further on down. And then John, the beloved disciple, pulls the ace card. You know, pulls the big one. They talk together. It wasn't power. It wasn't fame. It wasn't the stuff that we would normally think would work. John said, Lord, step aside for a moment. Can we talk? And I've got a deal for you. We know you're not into power. You've shown that. You've proved that. That didn't work. We're sorry we said that. We know you're not into status and superstardom. That's for those basketball guys or whoever they had back in that time. We get that. We understand. But Lord, I've got a deal that I don't think you can refuse. We love you. And you love us. We know that. But if we keep this up, there's a good possibility that you and maybe even us will get hurt, will be tortured, maybe even killed or crucified, because that's what they do. Lord, I tell you what. Let's form our own community of love and grace. People will see how we love each other. And from that, they'll know God's love. Let's protect each other. Let's come together as family. Let's come together as the nation. Let's do that ourselves. Let's protect ourselves. And I would imagine that Jesus would look at his disciples and might even smile at that point. And maybe even shed a tear. And nod his head, but say, John, no deal. I cannot be caged in by my own group, my own family, the expectations of who and what we are. Because God's grace and God's forgiveness needs to be loosed into the world. And that's where I need to go. Now, as we think about that story, all those things sound very reasonable, don't they? Power, status, name recognition. You can preach then, taking care and loving your own. But do you remember where they come from in Scripture? That's the temptations of Jesus in the desert by the devil himself. But don't they sound so reasonable in the way we should do things? The real stuff of God, the real part of what Christ is about the eternal and the ever-abiding love and grace that is way above the powers of this world, that's way bigger than any fame or superstar that we are drawn into, that's way bigger than any limitations we have for ourselves. Because no matter how big we plan our lives, how big we think we are, love and the grace of an eternal God is much bigger. And Christ says, that's what I got to go, and that's what I got to do. And even if it takes my life. Because I can't be limited by the ways of this world. Because God has asked me to be the ways of love and the ways of God. I wonder. Those temptations that the devil offered Jesus at the beginning of Scripture, and those temptations in my little scenario here, sometimes do we box ourselves in the same way and come and want to have the worldly way instead of really knowing the grace and the love and the possibilities of God? You know, there's a funny little story I read this week about a zoo. There's a story about, and some of you may have heard this, it's about a zoo who treated its animals really poorly. And there was one story about a bear who was kept in a cage, a 9-foot cage. Have you heard this? Kept in a 9-foot cage, you know, before they had the regulations and everything. The zoo wasn't kept well. The bear was kept in front of the zoo so that people would come and see and be drawn in by that. Never taken out of the cage. Fed, drank, everything was put in that cage. He stayed there for years and years and years till finally, you know, the zoo caught fire and it burned down, and they went out of business. The bear was still around. So those who are a little more compassionate for animals took the bear, took his cage, put it in an area like we see today in zoos, where there are fences because they can't get out, but had woods, had everything, you know, that bear could roam wherever he wanted. But guess what? He was let out, and he walked 9 feet to 9 feet. He was caged. Head and heart. He was caged. Even though he could see. I think in our spiritual lives, we cage ourselves by the ways of the world, by the ways of power, by the ways of fame, by buying into the culture around us and don't see the freedom and the possibility to soar as the loving disciples Christ offers us to do. Because we don't dare to step outside of that cage. It's protection. It is who we are. It's what we know. But if you dare take that step to Jerusalem with God, if you dare to ride along with Jesus and say, yeah, I will go where love takes me, the possibilities of resurrection then come about. They don't come about in the cages that we have. Let me share with you an even more powerful story. A few weeks ago, I was listening to National Public Radio, some talk shows I like to listen to, some news shows I like to listen to every now and then. And they did an interview by a comedian, Robert Schimmel. Does anybody know him? Robert Schimmel is his name. They did an interview about him, and obviously as a comedian, he was telling funny things, but he was on to talk about a book he had about getting cancer, a hard thing. And you know, how do you joke about that kind of stuff? He was very good at it. I mean, he's a great comedian. And he was telling jokes about it, telling about some of the harder things in his life, what treatment was about, you know, what it was like for the doctor to come and say, you know, this is what you got, and the struggles with that. And he talked about it, told some humor, and finally the announcer, the person interviewing him, wanted to talk more about kind of his job and the humor stuff, and he stopped her, and he said, you know, just a minute, I need to tell you something. I want you to know this, because every other place I go, they just want jokes. That's what they want. But here I can share this with you. He said, you know, if I could go back to June 5th, 2000, walk into the doctor's office like I did, and have the doctor say something different, not that you had cancer, but you didn't have cancer. If I could go back to June 5th, 2001, but had to exchange the new life I have now with my wife because of how I've seen the world. If I had to exchange the new relationship I have with my two sons with my wife. Or if I had to exchange the relationship I have with my children from a former marriage. Or if I had to exchange how I've come to know other people in my life and how they care for me. I wouldn't exchange it. Because it was opened my eyes and it was a tap on the shoulder. Sometimes in our life, there are those unchosen things come to us. I don't think Jesus says, I want to die. It was an unchosen thing. Lord, if it be your will, take it from me. And yet, sometimes when we have those things, what does it do to us? It realigns our heart and our mind to know what's important. The ways of God and the ways of love. Of each other and the ways of grace. But for those of us that meet here this day, as we prepare ourselves for Holy Week and Easter Sunday, we don't have to have those things to be tapped on the shoulder. We don't. We have to make the decision to say, I'm going to ride with Jesus. I'm going to go where love takes me. I'm going to step outside that cage of the world around me, of where it's been limiting me, and I'm going to decide to love no matter what the human consequences, because that's what God wants. And when we do, the stone is rolled away. It is not easy. But it is real. Do all of you still have your palms? Raise them up. Sign and symbol. Green. And after this winter of white, we need to see green. Sign and symbol of life. I want you to take that home this day. Put it someplace where you're going to see it. Put it someplace so you're going to see it this week and say, look at it. And each time you look at it, ask God, what's the love step I need to take? Who do I need to love? And what's been keeping me from that? The fear, the uneasiness, the uncertainty? Have faith and confidence in God that when we love honestly, it is new life and it is green. That's what we look. Please consider coming back Thursday for our meal. You can put those down now. Thursday for our meal. Friday for our service of darkness. But Easter Sunday, that we might birth green and new life in all of our hearts. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the ways you've touched our life. We thank you for the realness of the story we have this day. For the story of Jesus going towards love. Lord, sometimes that is hard, and yet we know when we do that, life comes about. So, Lord, help us continue to grow spiritually in our hearts, in the depth of our faith, that we might be those who receive your love and forgiveness, that we might be those who share that love and forgiveness with our children, our spouses, those who are near and dear to us, but we might stand a sign and symbol
as the palms we have of that love and that grace that's needed in this world. So Lord, touch us, prepare us for Easter, and bring us back to this place in anticipation of new life in Jesus Christ. All this we pray in His name. Amen.